Okay, folks, good to be here again. My name is Eric Valm with Christ Only Ministries, preaching the Word of Christ worldwide and beyond. This is podcast 12. Before we get into anything here, let's pray and ask for God's blessing and God's Spirit to move us. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day, and we thank you for your many blessings, both the blessings that we see and that we recognize, and those that we don't see and we don't recognize, even though they surround our lives, and, Father, the ones that we might even take for granted, Lord. We just thank you that you are a loving and benevolent God, and you don't hold our sins against us, Lord, but you have found for us a way around them, and Lord, invited us once again to participate in your divine and beautiful nature. Lord, we just thank you for that, and that you have found a perfect way to satisfy the demands of your justice and the demands of your mercy, and through Christ Jesus taking our sins upon himself, becoming sin itself, and being punished and dying for sins that call for death. And in your death you satisfied the demands of sin, but in your resurrection you have defeated death, Father. That is amazing and beautiful, and Father, just so unexpected, like so many things that are of you and from you. Father, we love you and we praise you. We just ask for blessings upon this word, Father, that it might go forth and be pleasing to you, and Father, it might be edifying to the church, to your disciples, to your followers, and Father, that we might through it grow more and more into the image of your Son Jesus Christ, which is what, Father, you desire, that, Father, at Judgment Day you may see the Spirit of Christ in us, and, Lord, that we have life in us through him. Father, we love you, and we praise you. I ask for blessings upon me as I speak, Lord, that these would not be my words, but they would be your thoughts and your words, and, Father, that it all would be pleasing to you. Father, we love you and praise you in the precious name of our Lord and our Savior, our God and our King, Jesus. Amen and amen. This is podcast number 12. And so anyhow, much has been written and said and talked about, and about male-female relationships and how to best and correctly negotiate our differences and our similarities. Magazines and books and talk shows and everything have just been filled with talk of these things, and it doesn't seem to me that we're any nearer to coming to any firm conclusions, or any nearer to learning and understanding how to get along, how to love each other properly, and how to just abide in the blessings of relationships and marriage. You know, and in particular, speaking about marriages, you know, there's a lot written about what it is that troubles marriages, what drives them apart, why divorce is so prevalent, why so many of our relationships end up in bitterness and acrimony, and just in charges and counter charges, and just, you know, for being a sacrament and a of the church and being a reflection of the church towards Christ and Christ towards the church. Boy, I tell you what, sometimes it's anything but that, and I suppose that's how Satan would like it. And you know, so many relationships just dissolve into just bitter disputes, and it's unfortunate, and it's ugly, and it's troubling. But anyhow, the common wisdom is about marriages is they break up over, or they turn into bitter feuds over financial troubles, the difficulties of raising children, unfaithfulness, adultery, or whatever. There are several things that people have written about, you know, that drives marriages apart. And these things, obviously, you know, they can if you let them, and they do. But you know, I read recently a study that was done, and I said it wasn't really any of these things at all that was the principal factor, the principal reason why marriages and relationships grew bitter and were troubled and eventually split up. What they found was that most couples complained about this mutual feeling of being unappreciated, of being taken for granted, of receiving very little thanks in the day-to-day grind of life and the things that need to be done to sustain relationships and families and the household and duties and chores and everything involved in the relationships. Little thanks was given to one another. They just never took the time to say thank you and I appreciate this, and that was the biggest factor. That was the thing. That was the recurring theme that came up time and time again in the study of split up marriages, was this mutual feeling of being underappreciated and not feeling underappreciated because receiving very little thanks and everybody taking everything for granted and just doing life in marriage in that manner. No one's efforts as a husband or a wife were being overlooked, that no one in that relationship was taking the time or the effort or the thought to say thank you. Thank you for doing this or for doing that or for being this or for being that or going the extra mile or helping with this or that. You know, to be thanked and appreciated is to be loved, and just thanking some other person for showing patience on that particular day or for that particular thing, or putting up with a bad mood that led into just a terrible argument that can lead into terrible arguments, and just not feeling appreciated. You know, one thing that I have found in life in dealing with bosses and dealing with management, and I find it so odd, but yet it's so simple and it's so basic. It's like, why does management have such a difficult time saying to their employees, good job, thanks for doing this, it was a good job, you did good, it came out well, just showing appreciation, thanks for showing up on time every day. I know we shouldn't have to say thanks, but you know, I know as personally as an employee and sometimes in a position of not exactly management, but of supervision, that you know, those little compliments and those little things like that, they go a long way towards changing one's attitude. They can really, you know, shine a little light on upon one's day, and a little appreciation for somebody goes a long way. I mean, think about it, I mean, the just kind words from a boss really has an uplifting effect on people. And being a boss, why not express that kind word? Why is it always? Oh, geez, this and oh man, this didn't work out. You know, it just leads to such a feeling of just drudgery and resentment and it's just a simple thing to correct. I mean, it doesn't have to be done all the time. You don't have to be a sap as a manager or as a supervisor or something along that manner. But, you know, the timely word of appreciation, the timely word of thanks, and just goes a long way. And so in these families that break up, there was no culture of saying thanks or making others know that your spouse, that they're appreciated. Nothing like this was developed. And, you know, excuse me. Okay, in the beginning, and I think everybody will say this is universally true, in the beginning of any relationship, both partners show great appreciation for the other. They go out of their way for the other. They, you know, and this is what draws them together. You finally, you think you found your mate, somebody who knows you and understands you and can put up with you and appreciates you and isn't really looking for anything except, you know, your love You know, that's the way every relationship starts out. I mean, it's just the way it is, and that euphoric feeling of being appreciated, and you in return, you know, you feel like, you know, you feel willing and able to give appreciation and thanks, and every relationship starts out like that. But somewhere along the line, we let something creep in where this sort of dissipates. It sort of like disappears, and it increasingly becomes a feeling of if you're not careful of bitterness and a feeling unthanked and feeling underappreciated and when these roots of bitterness, as Scripture tells us, don't let that root of bitterness get into your hearts. Because it really does. It's not content just to lay there but no, it wants to spread its roots and it wants to spread it and entangle your heart and just make it hard and bitter and unresponsive. So that's the way every relationship starts out like that. And even in relationships of friendship, so many of them start out like, oh, wow, this is a great friendship. And after a while, it's like, oh, well, this isn't such a great friendship. And it's because one or the other or both or something, you know, forgot to say thanks, forgot to make the other person feel special and appreciated. And I don't want to get overly sentimental. It's leading here somewhere. But that's just the nature of relationships. I'm not being sentimental. I'm being truthful. You know, if we enter relationships and we get into them because the other person feels something for us and we like that and we want to feel something for somebody else. But boy, a lot of these relationships, how soon do they turn into bitterness and discouragement and disappointment? And we begin concentrating on our mate's failures and our weaknesses. I mean, I've been in a relationship where it wound up where there was nothing I could do was right. Everything I did, everything I thought, everything about me was wrong. It was just wrong, wrong, wrong. And I don't know how it ever got to that point, but that's where a lot of relationships end up. It's like the husband or the wife or whatever, it's like the other person just can't do anything right. And it develops like this for a reason. And we start to, you know, we start to criticize one another. And we start, and instead of looking for the, and concentrating on the elements that drew us together, now we're concentrating on the elements that draw us apart. And the relationship suffers, and eventually it just completely deteriorates into acrimony and anger and discouragement and the like. We simply want to be appreciated. We want to somebody to thank us. We want the opportunity to feel like, you know, thank others and to you know, show our love towards them. And this is how it is in relationships between husband and wife, and between friends, and between whoever, you know, relationships of friendship or relationships of love, marital love. And, you know, unfortunately, this is the same, and this is my point. Unfortunately, the same dynamic occurs over and over and over in our relationship with God. And I once had a friend who was preaching, and he said that this discouragement that sets in, this bitterness that sets in, this feeling that things aren't working out when this sets in, it is simply the most effective tool that Satan has of separating us in our own minds from the love of Christ. You know, our initial acceptance of the scriptures is a time of joy. You know, it's a time of learning, and it's a time of appreciation, and it's a time of finding things out and really falling in love with Christ and just being surprised by how this happened and being surprised that you believe this and because it's believable and it makes sense, and that Spirit has revealed things to you, and it's a wonderful time. It's like newlyweds. It's just a wonderful time of learning about one another and enjoying one another and you know, being in one another's company and just enjoying this and loving this. A time of being thankful. But you know, as time goes on in our relationship with Christ, you know, trials and tribulations are going to come our way. And Jesus warns us of these things. And if we're not warned, and if we're not prepared for trials and tribulations and understanding them as times of testing and at times of maturing and learning, if we don't take that attitude, it's going to lead into a feelings of disappointment and discouragement and frustration. And our relationship with Christ starts to falter, starts to teeter a little bit. And even though he promises us, that he forewarns us, we let these things take root in our hearts. We let this discouragement. Because we haven't developed an attitude of thankfulness in our lives. We've let it disappear. And that's one of the reasons why I always say grace before a meal. Because it gives me the opportunity, it forces me at that moment to be thankful, to set my mind on being thankful, to look at the things to be thankful for, to set my mind on those things and not on the things that are discouraging me. Because I think more than most, I have a real aptitude for being discouraged. But I found the best antidote to discouragement and setback is thankfulness. Just saying thanks for so many things. Just saying thanks to God for this and to God for that. And saying thanks to my wife for this or my wife for that. Or just having a kind word for somebody for this. Or saying, wow, yeah, that was nice. I like the way you did that. And just being encouraging to others is such an encouragement for your own soul. To be thankful and to not dwell on the evil things being done under the sun, but to dwell. I mean, of course we're concerned about them, and of course we have to fight against them, and of course we have to be on our guard against them, and we have to call them out, and we have to show where they're in error, gosh, we can't dwell on them because, boy, that's when bitterness sets in. That's when unthankfulness sets in. That's where we just find it hard to say thank you because there's so much evil in this world. But no, we got to say thankful because, God, you love us and you care for us and you are a benevolent God. And you have given us a precious gift that can never be taken away. And that thankfulness in our heart keeps us steady in the love of Christ, keeps us steady in life, keeps us steady in our relationship with God. To be thankful is just, even if you're not feeling it at the moment, just to express that thankfulness, it will inspire in you a feeling of thankfulness. You don't have to feel thankful to say thank you. You say thank you, and then you can feel it. You can feel that thanks. I mean, we have to take the big picture in mind here and look at all the examples of Scripture about what these men and these women went through, yet they stayed steady in their relationship with God. They loved their God to the end and beyond. Of David and Paul and Peter and all the characters of the Old Testament who would not bow their knee to Baal, but stayed faithful and thankful to their God. Helped them in their relationships. And even, you know, and ultimately Jesus. Just giving thanks to the Father over and over and over again, even though he knew that a terrible day was coming for him. A terrible, terrible day. And he was enduring setbacks. Day after day, he was enduring, you know, things that would discourage him. His disciples were sometimes as dense as a rock. The Pharisees were just simply out to get him and constantly at his throat. The people were fickle. They loved him one day and they hated him the next. They loved him one day and they insulted him the next. Who is this guy? Is his mother and father not David or Joseph and Mary? What makes this guy so special? And on and on and on. But in scripture after scripture, you read, you know, Jesus being thankful towards, you know, to the Father. Thank you, Father, for this. Thank you, Father, for my disciples. Thank you, Father, that you love me. And he stayed steady in his purpose because he kept his mind on being thankful. It's such a powerful tool in the arsenal of the believer. Staying thankful, you know, not you know, always looking back on that initial euphoria of your relationship, and not willing to just let that go, but trying to maintain it through thankfulness. These men never stopped giving thanks, even in the most wretched of circumstances. Paul says in Scripture, he says, hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. Through all this, they remained faithful, and they remained thankful that God had called these peasants, and Paul, the rabid one, out from their previous way of life and have called them to something beautiful and eternal. And it's just a wonderful calling to have been called out by God to take your place in his kingdom. And we have to stay centered on that and not all these distractions of this vile evil and these vile things that go on. We know they do and we know they will. It's no big surprise. But we have to stay thankful. It's just a great way to maintain our love, our trust, and our faith in God. I mean, Paul, he talks about his torments, his jailings, his scourgings, his mistreatments, his misunderstandings. And if we constantly complain and we constantly criticize and we're constantly discouraged and we never remember to say thank you, can we really say that we're loving God? I don't think so. I mean, like the Israelis, after they were led out of Egypt, boy, they let that spirit of discouragement quickly take them over. and they complained about this, and they complained about that, and they didn't like the food, and they wanted to go back to Egypt. I mean, isn't that the temptation for all of us? If we let this bitterness and disappointment take hold of us, that we want to go back to Egypt, back to our life of sin, where things just seemed easier and less challenging. We had better food, and we had better this and better that, when in fact, Egypt was a false promise. Doesn't our criticizing and complaining isn't it a demand upon God to justify himself to his creation? I mean, is this love or is it arrogance? Well, you might say, what do we have? What is it that we have to be thankful for? Well, everybody in his own walk has their own particular reasons to be thankful, your own specific reasons. Every life is a different life, but there are general and numerous things that we all can be thankful for. And let's start with this. We have life. Have you ever taken the time to consider the absolute ridiculous odds of you being here? If one thing had changed in history, you wouldn't be here. If one event did not occur, what are the chances that all through history, everything had to progress in a certain way that your great-grandfather and your great-grandmother would have to meet, and your grandfather and your grandmother, and then your mother and your father, and then when all this outrageous tiny chance of you coming into being, now we have this. We have one egg, and we have millions of sperm. And each sperm represents a different person. And somehow, you made it. And here you are. I mean, you talk about infinitesimal chances of being where and who you are, of being here. It's ridiculous. It's crazy small. But yet, here you are. Here you are. I mean, that's just incredible. And that's worth being thankful for in and of itself. The very chance to have life. And that is why abortion is such an abomination. My gosh, the chance that this child would come into being is so infinitesimally small, and then it's snatched away. But that is for a subject for another day. So we're all involved in life. We're all involved in this thing where we were pulled from nothing into something, and we're all involved in the joys and in the miseries and the triumphs and defeats and the tragedies and the victories of existence. We're here to partake of this incredible thing called life, existence, reality that God has bestowed upon us in spite of some ridiculous odds against us. To me, that's a pretty profound place to start looking towards the idea of being thankful. That you're even here, that you even exist. It's just incredibly small. I mean, everything that happened in history, we regret World War II, we regret Vietnam, or to some, that these things had to happen, okay? But to be honest with you, if World War II had not happened, right, you probably wouldn't be here. So to look back on history and say, oh my gosh, I wish that never happened, it's almost like you wishing yourself out of existence. If World War II hadn't happened, everybody's life here would have been different. Your mom and dad probably would have never met each other, or your grandfather and your grandmother. So it's a peculiar thing to resent the past occurrences. Because in some sense, you're wishing yourself out of existence. But anyhow, so we participate in love won and lost, for second chances and for third chances, and for joining the wonders and the mysteries of life, and being able to recognize and respond to beauty, for being made in the likeness of God, and for being made in his image. Thanks for all the blessings of family and friend and acquaintance, of just being here, of laughing and crying and everything else, because it's all so outrageously incredible. And we just take it so for granted. That's why I start my prayer with, thank you for our many blessings, the ones that we see and recognize, and the ones we don't see and we don't recognize. Because our lives are filled with blessings that we don't see and we don't recognize. But thank you for them. I would like to be able to recognize them. And I probably could if I would just meditate on it for a while in a spirit of thankfulness. And there are many things to be thankful for. And one of the most profound ones, as we look into this, in that in some way, even at the time that things seem so dark and desperate, no matter how bad our circumstances may appear, through all our tears and through all our heartaches and through all our sufferings and disappointments and sins and pain, we have that very great assurance that God loves us, that God loves His creation, and that He has called us to a purpose, that we have a reason for being here. We have a purpose in this life. It's not just a dead end for us, where everything ends at the grave, but we have been called to His purposes. And we take great joy and thankfulness in that, and that we can respond to all these things of pain and suffering, that we can respond to them in a way that's positive, because we know that in the end, everything comes to a good conclusion for those who love and trust God. And that we were created in love, and that we are sustained in love. And He will bring us into fulfillment in love. And that all creation groans in eager expectation and frustration until that perfect day when God's perfect will is revealed in the revelation of the sons of God. We have that to be thankful for, that we are going to be crowned. That life life is teleological, as they say in philosophical and theological terms, that it has purpose, that it's driving towards something. Life isn't just driving towards a grave. And that's the common fallacy of today's world, that we've been so indoctrinated that everything ends at the grave. And it doesn't end at the grave. In some ways, it only begins at the grave. And it's just such a wonderful thing to be thankful for. And it fills the heart with courage. And it fills the heart with faith. And it fills the heart with joy. To really know these things. That out of it all, this great tribulation of life, boy, there is going to be something not even worth mentioning our troubles. The glory will be so intense. We give thanks for the very sure promise that it's promised that all things work towards the good for those who trust in God. We give thanks for that God has revealed Himself to us despite all the philosophers are saying, no, God will never reveal himself to no person, and no, that's a scandal, and that's this, and that. God loves us so much that he revealed himself to us in Jesus Christ. This is who I am. This is my gift to you, that in due time and at exactly the right time, I have appeared to you in the person of Jesus Christ. I have taken on your form. I have taken on your trials and your tribulations and even more. And this is what we're thankful for. That spirit of thankfulness just has to indwell us, because it guards against discouragement and it guards against Satan's arrows. That Christ has revealed, that we're thankful that Christ has revealed God to us as benevolent, as loving, as filling us with a purpose, and not a bloodthirsty, revengeful, angry monster that so many myths and theologies have concluded. And that he was willing to take on the bite and the sting of sin and death and give us hope for life eternal. Give us power. Give us strength. Give us just the spirit of thankfulness. As Jesus says in Scripture, what we endure now is similar to a woman in childbirth. There is so much, a woman in childbirth is just filled with agony and pain. But it's a joyful time as well, because something wonderful is about to happen. For the woman, it's a new being in this world, a new person. It's like, I remember looking at my children when they were born. It was surreal. It was like, wow, this is really a new person. You know, I just remember that feeling. Wow, this is a new being. Incredible. You know, I was just so astounded. You know, you see the baby developing, you know, only by the enlarging of the woman's stomach. But when a baby appears, it's, wow, it's a person. And so the woman endures that. And everything is just instantly replaced with joy and peace the moment that child is born. And so it is with us. We're looking forward to that moment when Christ's promises of eternal life and the resurrection. That's what sustains us, and that's what we need to be thankful for. That there's a moment in the future when this is really going to happen, and when that happens, it's like, wow, yeah. This is awesome. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for keeping me, for holding me up, for sustaining me, for this moment. He transforms us out of love, and he redeems us, and he perfects his creation by the shedding of his blood upon the cross, and we are thankful for that. He gave us the assurance of eternal life for those who love him, who love the truth, and we are thankful for that. And nothing we endure now is worth comparing to the glories that God has promised for us. For this and for many other things, we are thankful. And this thankful heart will defend us against the spiritual ravages of discouragement and disappointment. Thankfulness is the antidote to bitterness. Thankfulness is the antidote to discouragement. Thankfulness is the antidote to disappointment. That spirit of thankfulness we should cultivate in our lives. Just being thankful for our husband, our wife, our friends. You know, I don't want to be overly, you know, like I said before, overly sentimental. You know, or as one of my friends put it, it's certain things are treacle. You know, just sappy. suffused with sentimentality. So I don't want to be that. But it's true. I mean, there's truth to being, to the power of being thankful. And in our relationships with our co-workers, and our subordinates, and our superiors, the spirit of thankfulness and expressing it goes a long way towards lifting others up as well. And that's one of our calls as Christians, is to not let other, is to do what we can to not let others sink into the pit of despair. So we guard our hearts and our minds through faith and thankfulness. Because there is much to be thankful for. So we take the time to meditate on it. And I, you know, I open every mealtime with a prayer of thanks. And that, you know, encourages me to actually give thanks and to think along those lines. So if you're feeling discouraged, if you're feeling disappointed, if you're feeling bitterness creep in, take up that spirit of thankfulness. Just for a few moments, lift your head toward God and just say thanks. Say thank you that you have revealed yourself to me, little old me, and that you love me, and that you have something wonderful promised for me. So, thank you for listening. I'm thankful for whoever takes the time to listen to me. And I hope that it helps to encourage us in our walk with Christ, because we know there's many things that can disappoint. We know there's many things that can lead to bitterness. We know that. It's always been like that, and always will be, at least until everything is perfected. But being thankful is surely an effective antidote things of discouragement in our faith, in our walk, in our marriage, in our friendships, in our life. So there you go. So as is my custom, I shall read from Ephesians. As soon as I get there. Oh, here I am. And I'm going to read this, chapter 3, 14, to the end of the chapter. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Go in peace.